coming, the Lord gave me a scripture for you. It says, a fervent and an effective door has been opened for you. 1 Corinthians 16:9. 1 Corinthians 16:9. A fervent and effective door has been opened for you. Paul says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Now where there is me, you put you, eh? Praise the Lord, eh? And there are many adversaries. A fervent and effectual door has been opened up for you. Praise the Lord. Now, in the spirit world, there are realms. Realms can also be referred to as quote-unquote kingdoms. Praise the Lord. There are realms. There are doors to those realms. Praise the Lord. And those doors have keys. Okay? In the spirit world, there are realms. There are doors to those realms, and those realms have keys. There are times when you don't have to open a door. It is opened for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. That's why it says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. He's not the one who opened it. It was opened for him. When a door is opened for you, it's a sign of a new season. Yes? Praise the Lord. When a door is opened for you, it's a sign that a new season has started. The Bible says, and interestingly, the Bible says that God told Abraham, actually not Abraham, he told the Israelites, leave Egypt and go to the promised land, which was what? Canaan. But the problem is that there were people there. Okay? Now, God never makes mistakes. He knew that there were people in that land, but he spoke to people that were his and said he had given them that land. Yes? That means the people who were in that land were there illegally. Yes? Whether they were there first or not, that's not the issue. The owner of land and the earth has said that place is yours. Eh? Now, what he was saying was that the land of Canaan was their throne. And someone was seated on it. Huh? And when he told them to shift, he had opened a door for them. Eh? Which is true for you. Eh? Praise the living God. Eh? I say again that in the spirit world, there are realms. A realm is your sphere of rulership. It's the throne you're supposed to sit on. Everyone here has a realm. For some people, their realm or their throne is empty and it needs occupation. For others, someone is on it illegally and they need to be removed. Then there are those who are actually sitting in their throne. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Now, very important you get what I'm saying here. That in the spirit world, there are realms. Those realms, you first occupy in the spirit and it affects in the natural. Okay? So while people are fighting for land, if someone brings natural weapons to a spiritual battle, they lose. Yeah? Because to occupy the natural ground, you need to occupy in the spirit. That's why the Bible says, occupy till I come. Not talking about just a natural place. Because it's impossible to occupy naturally without having occupied in the spirit. I say again, there are realms in the spirit. Those realms have doors. Those doors have keys. There are times when God expects you to open a door. Now, when a person has grown with God, stagnation is a sign that their spirit knows a door has been opened. Now let me explain something. When a person is tired of stagnation, they have grown enough to be sensitive that that's not where they're supposed to be. Yes?
Oh, am I speaking my own things?
Yes? When someone has been in a stagnant place, and in their spirit they're not satisfied, they've grown enough to know, I've been here too long. Because somewhere out there, there's someone in a place of stagnation but satisfied. Huh? There's someone sitting in a place where a door was opened long ago, but they are satisfied. You see, when a door is opened, it's a sign of a season. Take me to verse 8 of that very same scripture. Before Paul says, he says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Then verse 9, he says, a great door has been opened. Somehow he knows the duration of that door. I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. Now, it is important for you to perceive a door, that it's there. It is important, secondly, for you to perceive that the door is open or shut. Yes? It is also important for you to perceive the duration of how long that door is going to be shut or open. Yes? It is also important for you to know whether the door opened is for you. There can be a door opened for marriage, and you enter a door that's not yours, not your portion. There are people who have learned to discern open doors and walked into a partnership with someone who belongs to someone else. Now, praise the Lord. Okay? And so they failed to discern that not all open doors are open to them. Someone can look and perceive this is a beautiful lady, and there are many adversaries. Huh? And that door seems open, but it is open for someone else. And you go through the door and even testify how the open door came for you. But the door was not yours. I say again that you must be able to discern a door. Secondly, you must be able to discern whether it is open or closed. Then you must discern for how long it is open or closed. Then you must discern whether it's open or closed for you. In the spirit, there are realms. Those realms have doors. Those doors have keys. The keys are multiple. When men learn to discern a key that opens a particular door, they'll be able to determine their own seasons. Because I'm telling you that while there are seasons for all of us, there is a place of a relationship with God where there are no It's a constant flow. Huh? Praise the Lord. Now. Okay. You see, an effectual, fervent door has been opened for you, that you might enter your realm, sit on your throne, and rule. Now, hear me carefully. That you see, I discovered long ago that there are distinctions in the spirit. All of us are created unique. There's a difference between the word unique and the word distinct. Unique means there is no other comparison. That means God did not duplicate you. There's only one copy of you, eh? You are unique, fearfully and wonderfully made. Distinct means that in comparison to others, you stand out. There are people who are unique, but not distinct. I want to assure you that, for example, in the fivefold, there are apostles, but they are distinct apostles. There are teachers, but distinguished teachers. Huh? There are people who the Lord puts His grace upon, pop, and makes them stand out from people they can be compared with. Now, when those people stand out, when they become distinct, they are then portals. There are distinct evangelists, distinct prophets, distinct businessmen, distinct media gurus. There are distinctions in the spirit. Now, distinctions can be acquired first by grace from birth. God just put something upon someone and they seem different from the rest. Then there are distinctions that are gained by mastery. Huh? In other words, I wasn't born with some grace that makes me stand out, but I master things to make me stand out. There's a quote that I used to love from back those days. It says, when others are sitting, stand. When others are standing, stand out. When others are standing out, be the standard. That is distinction. Distinction comes with a spirit of excellence. I say again, there is a door that has been opened for you. That door has your realm. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. There are places that were made just for you. They are your realms. Satisfaction can only be found in those places. And so, lack of satisfaction shows either you've been in a place too long or you're not in where you're supposed to be. Only a fool is satisfied in a place that was not meant for them. Not your? Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the Lord. I've only quoted one scripture. even if I quote only that. And so scripture says that there are many adversaries. Those as adversaries, the sign there, as many of you know, is that wherever there is an adversary, there is an open door. Okay? So you know the open door by the adversary. Now, sometimes the adversary that you have discerned might not be yours. And so, unfortunately, some people fight battles that were never meant to be theirs. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Romans 8 verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The first word is an indicator that the reference is to a human being. Yes? Who? A personality. Okay, not human being, a person. But the things that follow do not go in line with the first word. Because he says, shall, tribulation. Tribulation is not a who. Yeah? Neither is distress, neither is persecution, neither is famine, neither is nakedness, peril or sword. I expected him to say John, Jack, James. Instead he says, who shall separate us? Then mentions circumstances. And so I submit to you that there are times when your circumstances take on personalities. In a number of ways, sometimes what you're facing is a person hidden behind the circumstance. You just need to take one person out. Hey, you guys. Just one good principality that is just standing in your way. One. How do you choose? Eh? Scripture says there are many adversaries. For some people it's one, some people there are many. Now, I want you to understand something. That I know without a shadow of a doubt, we know that the word of God is the living word. Yes? Hebrews 4:12 says it's sharper than a double-edged sword. Eh? Then it says piercing asunder between what? Bone and marrow. Dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is infallible. The written word of God is infallible. Now, there are people, and please understand, there are people who have built their world around the infallible word of God, which is what we should do. But infallible, eh? Go on Google. Okay. The word of God is not error prone. It is perfectly orchestrated. There's nothing that can destroy what has been written in it. Every man and woman mentioned in scripture, every circumstance brought together, everything said is as per the Spirit of God. Eh? Now, the Bible says men were led by the Spirit as they wrote. Now, again I say that the Word of God is infallible. And we should grow in the Word of God and the knowledge of it. But the problem is that the Word of God as it was written, in major areas, it is general. And sometimes what you need is specificity. So, the Bible is a book of instruction. How to live on this earth. It will tell you and instruct you in marriage, but not tell you who to marry. Can we agree? It is general, but not specific. Okay? And many of you, as some of you have come to me, your issue is not how you should act in marriage, because you can find that in the Bible. You want to know who. And you see, the thing is that scripture does give us a semblance of who, because it says, do not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. It stops there. But it doesn't tell you John is your husband. Huh? It is general, but not specific. It doesn't tell you where to work. It just says how you should conduct yourself. If you're faithful in little, more is added unto you. It doesn't tell you go and apply in URA. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But it doesn't tell you where. The mistake you make, or many people make, is to think that preaching the gospel, I can just go anywhere. Because that's not true. Because doors are open to certain places. We know it's scripture because Paul said that he had a dream and saw a Macedonian man telling him not to come. Oh, to come. Was it to come? Yeah, to come. Okay? That's when you know a door has been opened. Had he gone to Macedonia before, he would have gone out of season. So the Bible is general, but not specific. Because your life needs specificity. Yes? So, somewhere out there is someone who has rightly said, stick to the word. But you need specificity. Now, to find specificity, you must have a divine encounter. Beyond written. Yeah? You must have a supernatural divine encounter. That encounter can be in a number of ways. Because you see, absent of the supernatural encounter, the perception would be that if the Bible was all God was saying, I will never know what my destiny is in specificity. I should just accept general stuff. Stick to the word. Eh? Now, I'm not saying the word. Remember, I said it's infallible. But what I'm telling you is that you see, the Bible says, I will send you a helper and he will show you things to come. That's when he will tell you to read the Bible and show you. It's a place that transcends logos. The Bible says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Okay? So, what the Bible refers to as the letter killing is someone who has built camp on logos. Now, logos helps you. Emma, logos is the word. The written word. Logos helps you to grow in rhema. It is founded on it. To find specificity, you must have an encounter. You must. That encounter, now please understand, that even though you've had supernatural encounters, it is important that you do not build religion around an encounter. Because if I was taken to heaven and I saw green trees, and someone was taken to heaven and they saw a white room, and I base my judgment on whether they're right or wrong based on my experience, I've missed it. Okay? So we don't build religions around encounters. But divine encounters that you need for specificity are various. Amongst them, 7 onwards, it talks about the vocal gifts. Amongst them is the word of knowledge, then the word of wisdom, then prophecy. Those are a form for you to encounter specificity from God. I pity someone who's in a church where there is no supernatural, because their life is just general. Huh? Very general. Word of knowledge, as you know, a word of knowledge, as you know, is looking at someone and saying, August 16th. Huh? Okay? And so, that's a word of knowledge. I didn't consult. Huh? Prophecy and word of wisdom are different. Prophecy is, you are entering into a season. And indeed you have entered. Where the Lord makes you distinct and to stand out. I see a new house, says the Spirit of the Lord. The effectual door, you walk through it next week Friday. Now, that is a prophetic word. Huh? So, a word of wisdom is, don't go to apply in anything that does not have minimum national weight. When you go, apply for things that are beyond your qualification. That is not prophecy. That is word of wisdom. Huh? Okay? Praise the Lord. Eh? So, that is an encounter with specificity. But there are also other encounters. The encounters in dreams and visions. Dreams and visions are gateways into the spirit world. Especially spiritual dreams and visions. They are gates. A door can be opened for you in a dream. One day, I will show you and teach you that when you grow in authority, when someone is standing in your way and they are not a Christian, you can shut their door. Okay. You can shut their door. The encounters in that realm, the dreams and visions, specificity. Sometimes, you see, Philippians 4:9, the Lord is ordering you. Eh? Those things which you have both learned. Now, there are things that we learn. Those things that are learned, as I taught some time back, you sit and come and you attend, and I speak, and maybe someone writes down or someone records, and they go back and they listen, and you learn. Okay? The learning has dimensions or degrees. You can learn taught by men. But John chapter 6 verse 45, Jesus speaking, talks of a dimension of men, the highest of which are taught by God. Huh? It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. It's important that I say again that You can be taught by God when a man is teaching. Praise the Lord. Now, Hebrews 4:12, like we said, says, the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. And it divides between soul and spirit. The word doesn't just divide soul and spirit in you. When you're grounded in word, and someone comes, you can divide soul, spirit. So someone comes, gives you a word, and you discern soul. It's just his mind. This is the reason why you must be grounded in the word. Because you can have just Jesus wept in your spirit. The Bible doesn't say specific scripture for specific circumstance. Word is one, not words. All of them are linked. So, you discern between soul and spirit. One day I'll touch on bone and marrow, because that one is a bit too deep for today. Then, it says thoughts and intents. Because you see, someone can come your way, and you need to discern thought. God help you discern thought in an interview. Whether it is thought for a job interview or for a visa interview, may you discern thought. Then there is intent. You see, many men of God, if you haven't learned as a man of God to discern intent, people come, there are people who come simply to use the gift and leave. Oh, man of God, that was a great word. That was a great word. I just need it. Now, it's not that that's bad. But if I can discern intent, I know this one just wants me for this particular thing, and they go. Jesus discerned intent when they came and said, show us a miracle. A man who had the capacity to do a miracle but refuses to do it has discerned intent. May you discern intent in Jesus' name. By the way, today I'm very simple. If I was to take you into Council of 13 and Illuminati and but this we go, Okay? So the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. Now, what usually bothers a number of people is the fact that when you're not, most people actually, Christians, will struggle with things because they lack establishment or being established. Established means you have been set on a path of God and nothing can change it. Now, there are many ways a person can be established in scripture. The Bible says, believe the Lord your God and you will be established. Imagine, just at the level of just believe. Pop! Established. The Bible says, it says in Proverbs 20:18, that a purpose in a man's heart is established through counsel. Counsel. So you learn your purpose through counsel. It is established, and not just counsel randomly. What do you think I'm called to do? No. And I've taught you before, the counsel of men and the counsel of God. It's established by counsel. The Bible goes on to say, it says that by wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established. So understanding is a way of establishing. And for many people, things are not established because they've sought counsel and purpose is established, but they don't understand. So I know I'm supposed to be in fashion. Yeah? What next, man of God? Because I see there's fashion here, fashion here, fashion there. What do I do? How do I start? I need money. By by understanding your house, which is your call, is established. A man who understands, who has understanding, understands the, has a perception of the ways of God. Not just the acts. Okay. I'm trying to use simple English. Eh? There's a scripture I'm looking for. Let me see if I can get it. Actually, it's 1 Corinthians 14:6, if I remember correctly. Okay. I'll get there. Okay. What does it say? Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation. Another encounter is by revelation, which is different from word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy. There is an encounter by revelation. The Bible says, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established. Job 22:28. Now, it's important you understand, decree is different from prophecy. It has two angles. When a king is seated on a throne, they decree a thing over their realm. Okay? That means it becomes law. There is that angle. But the decree, the context in this part here, the context of it, thou shalt decree a thing and it's established, it's not prophesying into your future. Decree here is testifying of the future. That means getting eyes and seeing a finished work before it is finished in the physical. And then speaking it as if it is finished. That is decree. That is decree. Thou shalt decree a thing and it is established. That's why Jesus, if you look through scripture, constantly his life is orchestrated by things that don't seem to make sense to the general reader. Because at some point he's crucified. At some point he's crucified before time. At some point he's crucified after. I says, the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the earth. How? And then it comes and says, he says in John 3, for the, just like Moses lifted up the bronze snake, so shall the Son of Man. So he's talking about it in future. Okay? Has it happened or has it not? Thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established. The entire Old Testament is a testimony of the finished work of Christ. So through Isaiah 53, God decrees, he shall be wounded for your transgressions. He speaks in Jeremiah. He speaks through the prophets, decreeing a thing before it happens. But he speaks of it as if it's finished and establishes it. That means nothing could change it. Now, your life needs more decree. It's not just seeing, but speaking. Man, I feel the UK. Huh? And that's why the Bible says, it warns you, it says, bad company corrupts good morals. You're around chaps who are speaking different stuff and they don't take you to a finished work. Keep on bringing you back. Does it yet happen? Who told you? The Bible talks about doors of utterance. Doors of utterance. You speak, a good door opens. Huh? I told you that there are realms, those realms is your throne, eh? The place where you're supposed to rule. Those realms have doors. Those doors have keys, and those keys are multiple. There are times when speaking in tongues can be a key. And this is where, as a teacher, the Lord wants to bring you to a place of maturity. Because there are times speaking in tongues is a key. There are times getting that money you have and sowing is the key. Now, the Spirit of the Lord, why people have confusion, is because many people have failed to discern, or you're learning the leadings of the Spirit. Because when the Spirit leads, He leads in various ways, amongst which are what I call nudgings, promptings, pullings. But why don't you just go for fellowship? Why don't you just go? Okay? There are promptings on that level. The Spirit of the Lord can also put a weight in the spirit of a man. Now, it's not just a pulling. It is making you sleepless. I don't know why I want to pray. I don't know how to pray. But I don't know why I'm feeling that I should pray. And it puts a weight. Pop! The leadings of the Spirit. Sometimes a man or a woman is a key. And I was telling a few people that, you see, you also need to discern the man or woman. Because, and I'm saying this as a man of God, and it's better I say it as a man of God. You see, many people have a perception that if only I could go give this man of God my seed, everything will be sorted. And indeed, he can be perfect ground, especially if you sit under him. But please understand that there are times when the Spirit of the Lord tells you, give Emma, give Maria, give whoever. Huh? I say, but that they don't look dry, like fertile ground. Huh? And so for you, say, let me go here where I know it's safe. Eh? And you go and sow. Please understand that obedience makes a ground fertile. Huh? The most unlikely person can be your key. The promptings of the Spirit. I sat with my team the other week. The weekend, I think. And I was explaining that I do this. If you know me, you know the heart in which I say this. That, in the church, people are used to the manifestation. There are people who are used to a manifestation of the ministration of the flesh. There's a ministration of the Spirit. And let me explain what those two are. Ministration of the flesh. You have convinced yourself that you need physical contact for you to be sorted. And we have people like that in scripture. The woman of the blood issue, she says, if only I could touch. There are people like that. Eh? Okay? It's not a bad thing. It's a ministration of the flesh. Eh? The Bible says that a general comes to Elisha and he says, go and wash yourself in the river 7 times. And he gets offended because he's used to a ministration of the flesh. There are people who don't believe that they've received their miracle until I pray or touch them. Okay? There are people like that. But there is a ministration of the Spirit where the centurion says, you just speak, send your word. Send your word. And Jesus, the Bible says, he marveled at that faith. Someone who's not physical. That it is actually possible for me to be prophesying on this side. And I'm sorting you that side. Eh? So that means there can be a reduction of rabbi this side. No, just think. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Because I can be this side and touch no one there. ministration of the Spirit. Grow. And the day you understand that is the day you realize that, I don't know if some of you noticed last week, there was a lady, I don't remember her name, the one who came here. There's that lady. And the reason why the Spirit was bringing out the dialogue is so that you might know that she mentioned something. She said, I told God, today, again, He's going to miss me out. She wasn't there saying, Rabbi! Rabbi, you better pick me! Then she starts, Rabbi! Because you see, no matter how much you shout, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you. It's not you I'm listening to. So in the process, as she spoke to God, He spoke to me. That's how it works. Ministration of the Spirit. And once you go to that level, you begin to understand that, hold on, I can be in my home and get the man of God to minister to me. Most people don't know, and I say this, most people don't know, and I say this because the Spirit has led me to say it. Most people don't know that I personally have never sat down with my spiritual father. Never had a conversation. We've seen each other from far and waved. Please understand, He knows my existence. Huh? You can send instruction through someone. But I learned ministration of the Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean someone who sits with Him, it's open. I'm just giving you my experience. Then can a man go through prophecy, a teacher, and capture the grace of a man he sits under without ever having met him? So I fall in the same category as most of you here. And you sit saying, nae one nange when I meet, I will sit down with him and say this and this and this. There is a ministration of the Spirit that I get instructions through dreams and visions, and my path is established through spiritual contact. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Yeah? And so, you would know that, let me leave it. Proverbs 12:3. What does it say? Proverbs 12:3. As I wind up. It says, a man shall not be established by wickedness. That means it's impossible for a person who is in wickedness to be established. Now, wickedness there is not doing evil. Wickedness there is being outside the righteousness of God, of Christ. Because a man can be wicked in the mind of God, having never stepped out of a room. Born in that room, lived, walked, lived, nothing. Just, and this is a wicked man. Because evil in the mind of God goes beyond doing things. It is sin. The nature. So he's saying, a man, listen, who is in wickedness, an unbeliever, cannot be established. Now, that's why the moment you see an unbeliever where you want to be, you can uproot. Because of this principle, a man can't be established in wickedness. It's impossible. Impossible. So they can succeed, they can only exist as long as you allow. Huh? Praise the Lord. But it says, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. That means the moment you sit in a place, you sit on your throne like this, pop, and your boundaries are extended. Every day they're extending. No witch doctor can come and say, "Cut now, you know what? Braka jaga 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 jaga. Let's remove them." That's impossible. You are established simply because you're righteous. That's why the Bible says, "Once more I will shake the earth, and only the things that are unshakable shall remain." You are unshakable. Now, please understand that you must learn, and I have to do this quickly. You must learn to stop allowing worry to make you try to logicalize the next step of God. So, the moment you're in a job, the job that the Lord gave you, and it was a testimony. First of all, if some non-believer is busy throwing, swaying you around, just bring them to me. Huh? In that job, okay. That's one. Secondly, if there's no non-believer throwing you around, okay, and suddenly you sit there 1 year and you're tired, then you say, "But the Lord is the one who gave me this job." God puts in your spirit a sign that a door has closed, another one. Can you say, now, then you begin. But now, where will I get the job from? Eh? Huh? Now, let me first, sit here for a few more weeks, as I look for a job. He told Abraham, "Leave and go to a land I will show you. Only showed when he reaches." Only showed when he reaches. Now, I wish you could get what the Spirit is saying, because he's orchestrating. I told you, in purpose, there's no disorder. There's no disorder in purpose. Listen to me. That the moment the Spirit of the Lord puts two souls orchestrated and matched, body, soul, spirit, for to be together. Because the matching, suitable mate is not physical only. Oh, I like the eyes. Suitable mate is body, soul, spirit. Actually, before you start body, soul, spirit, start from the other side. Spirit, soul, body. Huh? That one is usually very hard. Okay? By the time the Lord puts two together, puts them together, no father can stand in your way to get married. Eh? Now I'm telling you this. Eh? Only if you allow it. No, because you see, it's trying to fight physical weapons with spiritual ones. Huh? I was telling someone the other day that if Mama Fina was in a particular place and they tried to kick her out, and she looked at a person, this is in Uganda, and said, "You're doing what? You're kicking me out. Let me come." So they say, what is she going to do? What is she going to do? So people fear, they have a semblance that witchcraft has power. But a Christian, you just stand there and say, "Oh my God, please, please don't, please. Thou shalt decree." Romans chapter 11 and verse 1, as I end, because I have so much I could say. Romans chapter 11 and verse 1. Yeah? We continue in the spirit. Yeah? It says, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of..." Okay, give me 1 verse 11. I think it's 1 verse 11. Am I getting the scripture right? "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." There's an establishment by impartation. Huh? Now, which brings me, take me back to Philippians 4:9. I told you there are things that you learn. Huh? There are things that you learn, and you sit under a person, and you learn of God. Eh? But then it says, "The things which you have both learned and received," that's impartation. There are things you receive by the laying on of hands, by impartation. There are things that you hear and can do. Jesus, you see, just by sitting in an atmosphere of the Spirit of God, all you have to do is hear and enter. So Jesus said, as he was speaking, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. Then he speaks, then he says, these words are fulfilled in your hearing. That means, in the midst of the congregation, there was someone lame, there was someone broken-hearted, and they were there. All they had to do is say amen. And he says, it is fulfilled in your hearing. Not even listening. You doze your words, you're just dozing it out. And as we speak, it is fulfilled in your hearing. The Bible says, I hear the sound of the abundance. Just hearing. And it is established. And scripture says, and seen in me. So you can sit there. God is also taking into consideration the deaf. Hey, come on. Because if they don't receive healing there by hearing, they just have to see. And it's not just, and you see, it's not just this. You see, you can sit there and just watch a man of God walking and you don't even know what he's saying. You're just watching. And in the seeing, you do. That's why testimonies are important. You need to learn. You need to receive. You need to hear. And you need to see. God, if you knew that when someone walks into a marriage grace, don't just say, oh my God, God bless you so much. Come on. You get a good seed, not a seed. Huh? And you say, I receive. Huh? And you don't look for people. And you see, now here's a, because I've learned the timings of the Spirit. It's one thing to sow into someone that got married in 2050. I mean, not 2050, that's future, finished work. In 1950. It's another thing to sow into someone who got engaged recently. And you see what happens is, there's a quickening, a fresh anointing that is released upon you now. Let's take leave engagement. Someone has been looking for a business project opening up, and someone testifies, man, this door has opened. Don't just come and say, how did you do it? Because you see, in the Spirit, there are things I've learned that cannot be explained. Man of God, how did you pick me? You see, you need to go back and stop trying to explain what is spiritual. You saw. Just so. Let me tell you. I am a distinguished teacher. And I say it because I told you distinction stands out. There are people who attend this session without attending it. And so they keep track of your story. Now, may that be your portion, yeah? May you get stalkers in the Spirit. May you get stalkers. Because you see, people watch from afar. They don't want to acknowledge something is happening. But from afar, they watch. May you receive stalkers in the Spirit. I learned that God is not a God who explains. Because along our path, there are wise. We need specificity. But you know, I've heard the word before. Yes, I know you quote the scripture. Yes, you've heard it. And you need specificity. And sometimes they're backed by why, Lord? Why? And the track record in scripture is that God doesn't explain. The whole book of scripture, the whole book of Job, is a book of a person saying why, but never gets an answer. When he comes before God, God now asks him. And when he asks him, the end of the conversation is that my ears had heard of you, now my eyes have seen you. In other words, now that I've had an encounter, the why doesn't matter. The why does not matter. But let me tell you. The way the Lord orchestrates your mistakes and makes beauty out of ashes, it's just a beautiful thing. I'm telling you, an effectual door has been opened for you. I'm ending, eh? Scripture says, in the presence of two or more witnesses, a thing is established. That means minimum, you just need two for a thing to be established. And here's the crazy thing. It doesn't say two humans. Because you see, often, God already agrees. He just needs you to agree with him. Huh? Now it doesn't just, you see, it says witnesses, we are not just human beings. They can also be things. That's why you know a nation is run. By the principle, two or more witnesses a thing is established. So you know a law is of God. If it corresponds with three things, because there is nature, there is the Bible, the moral law, and there is civil law, state law. If I put a state law and say homosexuality is allowed, does nature agree? So in the mind of God, it can't be established. Because first of all, the Bible doesn't agree. Nature does not agree. So even if the state puts it there, and that's how we conclude a godly nation. Praise the Lord. Eh? Now I'm telling you, you just need two. And it doesn't say human beings. Huh? Now, I hear the Spirit say that no matter your circumstance, your door is opened now. In the name of Jesus. Eh? Whether it's marriage, you choose your country. Huh? There's someone I met who told me they wanted to marry a white man. And they thought I would say something. I just said, as your heart desires. You know? Because, you see, the principle, the rule of the Spirit is this. If you delight in the Lord, He gives you the desire. Boop! I used to like Ugandans, but I don't know it changed. My job is to come, see in the Spirit, and say, as your heart has desired. Pop! Say, I like half-caste children. What, what? God can shock you. God can shock you. Put you with a black man, and you get half-caste. Oh, my sweet Jesus. Over what language, what thing am I speaking here today? Praise the Lord. Eh? Okay. I have to finish. Eh? I told you that there are a number of ways in which God intervenes. Eh? And I need you to know that the way the Spirit is doing things, because I have learned, I'm learning the way of the Spirit. I'm learning with this walk how to connect to spiritual things, how to make doors open, how to move exactly when needed to. And sometimes you don't overthink. The moment the burden comes, move. Huh? And so you need to learn. And so those burdens usually have time frames. And the longer they're denied, or the longer there's a delay, they begin to fade in weight. Please understand, like for example, I told you there are distinct men and women, they're here. That distinction means that different people have assignments, but assignments have different weights. That's why a man of God can, by virtue of assignment, outrank another. But if he sleeps on job, someone by mastery. Okay? Somewhere out there is someone. And you see, the Lord has reminded me of something. He says to you that scripture is full of people who came out of nowhere. The Bible says Elijah shows up in Kings and says, I am Elijah that standeth in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says in James that we don't know where he came from. And you see the thing with men who we don't know where we came from. When people don't know where you came from, they get offended. The reason they get offended is because they've built a path of how things should work. How did you reach there? And God is perfect at people who have come out of nowhere. Look at your neighbor, because that's their story. And that's why the Lord is doing a lot of that, because you see, Jesus grew up with people. He grew up with people, grew up with them until he was 30. They saw him all the time, but he didn't seem to be doing what they were doing. And that's why it's a shock that he has authority, he's doing miracles, and the only conclusion is that it's a devil, because you haven't used my process. I'm telling you, to grow a ministry, because all your callings are ministrations, to grow a ministry, a person doesn't have to cram process. There are shortcuts in the spirit, and I know there are shortcuts. May God give you a shortcut in the name of God. All you have to do, and you see, this is the thing. You being on TV and the country wondering where you came from is not as far as you think it is. You starting that business, it looks like, and you see the God, the Bible says is a God of suddenness. Boom! Out of anywhere. Hey! How did this person get this? Okay? There was a lady I met during the week. Okay, I meet a number, but there's a particular one who I met actually last week. And she told me, from last year, man of God, I just want to get one. Man of God. In fact, when I see her coming, I knew. So, recently, I call her and I tell her, you come and see me. And as I was telling a few people, as she walked in, I saw her dressed in a gown. So she sat down. She sat down, and I knew the question. Man of God, when? And I said, I see an urgent marriage grace. I said, amen. I said, no, even if you don't say amen. Because some people say amen to encourage us. Amen, man of God. Even if you don't say amen. I saw her dressed in a gown. This was on a Thursday last week. And I told her, call me on Monday. Saturday she was proposed. And I remember that Saturday, the other Saturday, she was proposed to. And she sends me messages, I just a walk of blood. And so usually I don't know how to respond to mushy mushy. So I'm not a mushy mushy person. So I see all the WhatsApps and I don't respond. I just let the mushy first finish. Oh God, heart, broken heart, what? Arrow, man. I'm sorry, that's just not me. I just don't know how to respond to mushy, especially if it's physical. physical mushi. Ah, you guys. So I waited until it was finished. The mushi was finished. Then I got back and I gave a word. After all the mushi. So my point is this. The change in your life is just like that.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bukolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.